It's Monday, October 20th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 715, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Aloha, everyone. I got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central Podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Thursday show, not the Monday show of the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Yeah, you know, I have no idea why I thought it was, Monday. So I got everything totally screwed up, but it's been like crazy busy here, everyone. Of course, I want to welcome everyone to the show, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. And of course, we want to welcome listeners from around the world for checking out the show, and thanks for tuning in. And of course, if you're new to the show, yeah, we're off to a fun start today, but I got a great lineup of tech content for you, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content over there. Of course, you can get subscribed to the show. It's pretty simple, just a second column of the website, all the stuff there's for iTunes, Zoom, RSS feeds. We've got a newsletter as well. The newsletter really contains everything that, or you'll get the newsletter if you sign up, and it contains everything I talk about during the show. So it's really pretty simple. Stay connected here. And when you're signing up for the newsletter, really what that does is that gets you dialed in and lets you know when there's a new show available. This show is produced every Monday and Thursday night here in Honolulu and released every Tuesday and Friday morning. Those of you on the Eastern Seaboard, by the time you wake up, it's up and available for you to grab. So you can make sure that you can do that. Of course, we want to welcome followers on Google Plus. Those numbers have been continuing to increase there by leaps and bounds day after day. Hey, you can watch the show on watch us live at live.geeknewscentral.com, or you can catch us on rerun over at techpodcast.com. Of course, we're available on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Looky TV, all those devices. I actually got an email from someone today saying, "Hey Todd, I was trying to watch you on the Roku and the show didn't play, so I'm going to be checking out that." That should not be the case. That's the first I've heard about that. But, of course, we're streaming live tonight at the same time we're recording. You'll definitely want to stay in contact with me here. You can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. If you've got comments about the show, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our voicemail hotline open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. And I'll have that up on the screen for those of you watching from time to time, so that way you can stay abreast of, you can basically write that information down if you didn't have it already. So, of course, reach out to me. Let me know what you think about the show and provide feedback. It's always good. My doggone little earpieces here, the little strap in the back keeps sliding down. It drives me crazy when that happens. But, as always, you can pick up stuff from the show at cafepress.com/Ohana Store, cafepress.com/Ohana Store. Of course, we want to welcome our sponsors, and of course, Citrix GoToMeeting has been a longtime sponsor here of the show for a number of years. And, you know, with I just live this amazing on the go lifestyle, and I'm pretty fortunate, you know, living here in Hawaii. There's lots of opportunity to really get out of the house, go down the beach, work on a laptop, be in different people's, offices. It works out really well. And, you know, everyone lives a lifestyle today that's real busy, and holding an impromptu meeting can really be pretty hard to do so, but really not anymore. With the GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can host your meeting online from your computer while your attendees join from any computer, an iPad, an Android, an iPhone. And with the GoToMeeting app, really anyone can attend. All they got to do is just click the email join button, and basically it launches a little app on their device. And this app is fantastic. It's a great way to not be chained to your desk anymore and do the things you want to do. And, you know, they can see the host desktop right from the smartphone or an iPad. And you can attend a meeting wherever, whenever, while on taxi waiting at the airport. I highly recommend GoToMeeting. You guys know I've used this on a daily basis. It's a tool in my business I can't live without. And I want you to try GoToMeeting for free today. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Android Market to download the free app and really start joining GoToMeeting meetings anywhere. But to get that free trial, all you really have to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com and click the Try It Free button or click the banner on the website. And when you get to the fill out the information there, you're going to enter the promo code PODCAST. That gets us credit for your trial. We want to thank all of you that definitely give GoToMeeting a try. And this is a great way to support the show. And we want to thank GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here. But I tell you, moving on from the sponsor message, you know, I was doing some reflecting today. I have, you know, we've been at this a while. We're already in the middle of October. Today is October 20th, and we're real close. You know, and we've probably, you know, it's a few days here or there from really this show being officially 7 years old. You know, this journey started in October of 2004, and here we are well past the middle of the month for October in 2011. So 7 years of bringing content to you. The first 365 shows, I think, were completely audio. Then we switched over to doing a video part as well. And that's had its challenges. And, you know, just like tonight, you know, when you're doing live and you're doing video, there's no retake. So forevermore, the it's Monday versus Thursday is in that intro. But that's really, you know, kind of the way things happen sometimes with this kind of media. Try to do our best, you know, I always try to do my best job for you. But, you know, you really think at where we're at, and I look at the website and I look at the number of really just the amazing number of shows and the amazing number of people that subscribe to the show and follow on a weekly basis and have been here, you know, really for 7 years. Many of you have been here for 7 years. And that's remarkable that you have hung out with me all this time. And continue to support and listen to the show. I know all of you don't listen to every show, but you know it's a testament to your fortitude for putting up with my, you know, some of the stuff I do sometimes, and you know I learn every day that I do this show, and you know we've done, you know, when the launch of show in October of 2004 with the book deal that happened in December, then starting writing in January, and the launch of Tech Podcast at the same time. In those early days, we really were living life on the edge. We really didn't kind of know where we were going. And my formation of Raw Voice, when I figured out I couldn't do this on my own, my team, you know, we're all largely together today, that the ones that started the business. And that has its, you know, we have our ups and downs, and running a business is a challenge. And the economy has not helped, and it's made it much tougher to do, you know, to build a bigger business. We never took venture capital, and that, you know, that in itself was a decision that we made. And for right or wrong, we're still around, and we're still helping podcasters, and we're still helping people create media. Do we do it absolutely perfectly? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I had to send a letter out last night to a number of content creators and say, hey, we found an error, and we're making some adjustments, and we are going to be following up with you in a certain way. But you know, I've always been very transparent, making sure that everything that we do is above board. And whenever I find something has went astray, we always make adjustments and come back and try to keep the content creators in our foremost thoughts in building the business. But, you know, this show, you look at where we've come from, you know, basically started with a $7 LabTech headset, and the camera that I'm looking into now is, you know, $5,500, you know, and the studio gear and the TriCaster and everything else, and being able to have, you know, 8 cameras and inputs from another computer and the network stuff. And it all is a, you know, a testament to where we've been able to take the show and build this studio and everything else. And I just want to, you know, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for being here. And thanks for being, you know, part of the Ohana, being part of the family and supporting me. There are times I'm sure you are like, oh, when will he ever learn? Or, you know, but you know, it's at this point, it's 715 shows in, and I don't like using this cliche a lot. It is what it is. And we make adjustments and continue to drive forward. And, you know, I got up this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, Hawaiian Standard Time, just to be on the phone with people on the East Coast early in the morning. Their time, it was the only time they could meet. So really, I got up at 3:45, brushed my teeth, splashed some water on my face, and kind of, you know, shook myself awake and got on the phone. And, you know, you have to do business. And it's when you live in Hawaii, that's the price you pay. So it's, you know, it is a thing where you are building a company. You got to burn it on both ends, baby. And that's sometimes I do. And I think sometimes it shows in this show. And part of the large reason why I always record at night is I try to, you know, work the business day as a business day. And this show is part of my business. But at the same time, you got 9,500 content creators that count on us to do cool things. And that is what we try to do, is do cool things. So anyway, enough reminiscing. You know, I didn't really know where to call the 7-year mark. I thought I'd just talk a little bit about it tonight on the show. I don't want to go long, you know. Yeah, I've stuck you guys long the last couple of shows, but I just wanted to say thanks. Thanks for being here and being part of my extended family. I know many of you, your email addresses come in, your voicemails come in, and it's fantastic. I say, oh, that's Sam or that's Tom or whoever's calling in. You know, your voices are recognizable to me, and I know you, but. Thanks for being here. Let's see what happens, you know, as we march to 10 years. So let me talk just real quick about the schedule. All right. I'm going to fly out next a week from tomorrow. I'm actually, whatever day that is, the 28th or so. And then I'm going to, afternoon 28th, I leave out of here, out of Honolulu, fly into Chicago, bounce into Detroit, get a rental car, and then basically hang out with my mom for, looks like 2.5, maybe 3 days. And then I got to roll back to Dearborn. I'm going to an event at Ford. Not fully sure what we're being shown, but we've been told we can't bring cameras. So that's going to be interesting. So I'll see what I can talk about and what I can't after that. So I spend Tuesday and part of the day Wednesday at Ford. I fly out Wednesday night, red eye, to Los Angeles for a Blog World and New Media Expo. I'm going to be doing, we have a booth there. We're going to be talking with the content creators and film artists and you name it. And we hopefully will have Q2.com launched early next week. Be able to talk about that and a new feature coming to PowerPress that we're really excited about. And also I've got in a couple of sessions, one of them is kind of like a state of the podcasting type of thing, where we're going with new media. And the other one's going to be a session that I'm actually presenting in, and I've been working on the presentation. It's about basically things that content creators can do on their websites and their brands to build their presence and make it more basically appealing for you to consume their content. So I guess tonight I just want to do a shout out as a listener, and you guys going around and looking at different websites. What's the top 2 things that you look for when you go to a website and you see this is a podcaster and you want to subscribe? What are some of the things you're looking for, and what are some of the things that turn you off? I'd love to hear your feedback. I want to add these into my repertoire for my training. I have my own built-in ideas, but I really want to hear from you guys. So email me at geeknews@gmail.com and let me know, you know, what you're looking for when you go to a content creator's website. What's the sex appeal that makes you want to subscribe to that show via iTunes, Zune, or an RSS feed, or just, you know, come to the website and consume it. So I'd love to hear your feedback on that. I should mention on Michigan, I may try to do a meetup on Sunday the 30th in Coldwater, Michigan. Those of you that have come out know that location. If you're interested in doing a, in hanging out with me on the 30th in the afternoon, we'll do, a, I think there's a, Applebee's or something like that there. We'll go there and eat. Dinner will be on me. If you want to come down on the 30th, give me a shout out and say, yeah, I'd like to come. We'll see how many we get and whether it's worthwhile. I need on the 31st to go see my grandfather. So there's nothing going to be scheduled on Monday. I will have a short show, Monday the 31st. But I need to go see my, my granddad and spend some time with him. Robot Underpants, new audio version of that show is out. Langley has, basically stepped in with a couple of cohorts and they put together a new Robot Underpants. That's available audio only. I'm going to get the RSS feed changed on the website tonight. So you can do that. Of course, our Samsung Smart TV rollout has went really well. We're really pleased with it. Saturday morning tech show. Of course, we'll have one this Saturday. Haven't worked on the lineup on that. Probably do a hangout. So that's the plan for Saturday morning. We'll do a hangout on Google Plus. And then, of course, we're looking for the next edition of Robot Underpants to pop here. All right, already chatted long about everything else, but let's just remind you guys, GoDaddy.com, longtime sponsor here. GoDaddy has got all the products you will ever need to get online, get a domain, get seen, found, have all the tools to have an online presence. And they, you know, they have absolutely fantastic products. And they got a great deal going on right now. And we're offering what's called the GoDaddy website tonight. It's a special offer. And you're going to get a couple $100 in free advertising and coupons by signing up for this. We're going to give you 20% off the website tonight plans of 12 months or longer. All you got to use is use the code GEEK12 when you get to the website. And of course, I just flashed another sponsor's webpage. So here we go. So anyway, you'll be able to go over there and tour this, try it. Over 3,000 designs and templates and color combinations. Well, you can get your website up and running immediately. So again, 20% off the 12, 24, 36 months plans. Geek12 is the code. And of course, if you come over to geeknewscentral.com and you go geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, you're going to find all the codes that are available for all the promo codes. Use these, share these, put them up on billboards, share them on your websites, wherever you can put the codes. It helps the show. So, of course, we want to thank GoDaddy, longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let me go ahead and get into the full stack of stuff tonight. I promise I'm not going to keep you for an hour and 24 minutes. And but let me go ahead and fire right off with the first article talking about a company, or actually not a company, but a group that we're all very well familiar with on this show. We've talked about them many times. Right Haven, as you know, Right Haven has been winning, losing all over the place. And they've been told to pay up, and they owe $34,000 in legal fees to one of the companies, or one of the individuals they've lost by. And essentially what's happened here is, they said, hey, we can't pay. We need that money to go after other people. And the court has basically said, tough, pay the money or face additional sanctions. So we'll see where this goes. And someone ends up going to jail because they don't pay up the $34K that they owe. Hey, Canadian Supreme Court has ruled that there's no liability for linking to defamatory content. And this is a lawsuit that went through the full process. And luckily, Canadians, you guys can breathe a sigh of relief. You guys can now link on your websites to other sites that are talking bad about someone and not have to worry about end up being in court yourself. There's precedence now. So that's good news. But on the other side of the pond, those of you that listen to the show that are in the UK, UK Parliament recommends websites be liable for anonymous contents if you, the web host of that website, will not reveal the identities of those leaving comments on your website. I this is pretty ridiculous. But, okay, so I have a website. Someone comes in that I don't know who they are. They leave a comment about someone that says something really bad. They leave no login information, nothing else except maybe an IP in a log file somewhere. And yet they're going to call me and say, hey, who wrote on that page? I'll be like, I don't know, IP12, you know, after they give me a court order, IP12-186, you know, whatever it may be. But if you don't give that up, if you say, no, I'm not giving up my commenter's identity, you potentially get held liable. So what you guys need to do here is you need to get on the phone or email your parliamentary representative and say, yay, this is not good. And let's not move this any forward out of committee than where it's, just leave it in committee and let's not go any further. But that just blows me away. So on one side of the fence, you can link to stuff that you're not going to be held liable for, but yet if someone comments on your website, you could be. Hey, remember in the last show when things went crazy here and I was getting a beep, 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 beep noise, and I said, I've never heard that particular beep before and I couldn't hear it? Well, I expect it maybe to happen again tonight. We have, basically, I have in this studio, I have three significantly large UPSs. And one of them, the oldest one, its battery is basically saying, I'm done. I can't hold a charge no more. You need to replace my battery. So about every 12 hours, I get this deet, 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 for about 60 seconds. And its way of telling me, you need to change the battery. So we've got a battery guy here in Honolulu that I found where I can take the old battery out, take it to him, get a new one, put a new one in. And do the right thing on the, you know, disposing. He'll dispose of it correctly. And so anyway, we'll get the beeping under control here very soon. But we'll see if we get interrupted tonight. If it goes after about 9:20, I think that's when it's supposed to beep here local. Yeah, another dumber and dumber thing. You know, if you go out and do something very criminal, example, if you are... Well, let's just put this. I'm not going to say any of us are going to do this because obviously I'm praying no one would. But this guy in, I believe he was in the UK. He broke in and killed a woman a while back. And after that, he hid her body in a wooded area. And so what the 33-year-old defendant was doing after that, he was looking up satellite imagery of the site where he dumped the body. He researched the Wikipedia page for murder and maximum sentence for manslaughter. He did web records from work and personal. He did this from his work, his personal laptops. He checked on the local Somerset Police website to see what they were getting when he was doing local news websites. He was even checking to see how long it would take her body to decompose. And he was doing all these searches and probably thought that his search information was anonymous. But no, of course not. When the police were finally narrowed the search and were investigating him, they investigated all this stuff and, of course, found the body based on his web activity. But we've talked about this before. They're watching. So at least this guy is going to get what he deserves, but you don't go out and Google every aspect of it. That's for sure. And this is really the next article I'm going to move into here is really not a tech article, but if you buy something in Louisiana? Yes. In Louisiana, now if this bill gets signed, if you go to Louisiana and you buy something secondhand, you can't pay cash. Cash is no longer any good. You can use a credit card, check, money order, that kind of stuff. If you want to buy something, a secondhand item, in other words, if I want to sell you this little flashlight here, I got it at a trade show a few years for a dollar, you have to write me a check. I can't do it by cash because the Louisiana government saying cash is no good anymore because the only people that use cash are criminals. This is true. They just put in a law. You cannot buy secondhand goods with cash. We'll see how long that one lasts. Moving back into tech. The head of Google's Android Mobile, Andy Rubin, made a pretty profound statement. He says he doesn't think your smartphone should be your personal assistant. Well, you know, I don't have a secretary. I'm sure Andy can afford, Google probably provides him a secretary. I'm sure that being at the position he is in, he probably has a, you know, he has a secretary that takes his calls and manages his schedule. But most of us don't have that that nice opportunity. We are on our own. So with the introduction of Iris and Siri for our mobile phones, you know, we've got a little bit of an assistant here. And I'm going to tell you, based on what I've seen and I've talked to some folks about Siri, it's real hard not to go out and do the upgrade. It really isn't. But, you know, let's think about this. You know, if I'm on the go, like I'm on the go and I can, you know, I can hold the phone up to my, and say, you know, 10 o'clock appointment with whoever, and it puts it in there for me and I don't have to do nothing, or I just do it via my, hands-free, and make memos or whatever else, that is better than a secretary because it's going to talk back to you. It's going to validate it. You know, you deal with it. You don't have to pay, you know, for that assistant. You don't have to pay someone a wage. The voice stuff, I'm sure it's going to have its own challenges. But, you know, Android lets you talk to it. Google seems to think this was a fabulous idea when it was hyping the voice action features in Android. So I don't get, is he jealous that Siri seems to be doing well and has a personality, a little bit too much personality to a certain extent. It looks like they spent a lot of time programming weird stuff into it, but it just kind of blows me away that this guy would say that. He's the head of Google's Android mobile OS. Those of you that are Android users, you got to be going, huh, what do you mean? What do you mean? I don't get it. Now, one thing that's where Siri's missing from our Macs. I'm looking at my MacBook Pro. Hey, set my appointment. Nothing's happening. There's no Siri on my laptop. How come? Was this one of those Steve Jobs things saying, no, it's not going to go into the computer. We want people to change and we want all this, their computer to be their mobile phone. We don't want to put that in the Mac. Why not put it in the Mac? It would be perfect. Don't you think? Find Italian restaurant for wedding anniversary. Remind me when it's a kid's birthday. Remind me of my wife's birthday. Remind me of my anniversary. All these things that we need in our busy lives to be reminded of, or set an appointment, or whatever it may be. Why didn't they integrate that into the Mac OS X? Better yet, make it a program I can buy and put on my Windows machine too. I think it would be cool. I think it would be awesome. Siri, find me the lowest fare to Los Angeles on October 29th. You know, I keep working. Todd, I have found your lowest fare. United Airlines flight number 612 departs at 6 a.m. Arrives Los Angeles, 2:32. Price, $356 round trip. Can I book that for you? Yes, Siri, book my ticket. Use my credit card ending in 1234. If it's smart enough, it'll know. This thing has got all kinds of connotations with it, right? It won't go that far that quick. But just give it a couple of years. Genius. They're genius on buying that company. But bring it into my Mac. All right, let's talk a little bit about security. I know I've been putting QR codes on the newsletter, on my website. Well, as soon as I start trying to be a cool kid, they're saying now, be careful. The next time you scan a QR code, because it might just cost you money, and wreak havoc on your smartphone. It appears that some people are putting QR codes up that are basically tricking phones into sending SMS messages to sites that charge you like dialing a 900 number. Remember back in the days, you dialed a 900 number and you got a $2,000 phone bill. But there's apparently some of this going on. So just be scanning QR codes from safe sources, okay? I wouldn't recommend scanning a QR code when you're just out on the street or looking at a billboard. It does bring up a good point. Maybe there needs to be some sort of QR code clearinghouse, you know? Maybe that's what we need. I don't know, but that's a security warning out there. And over on Uber Gizmo, Siri does have a security issue. So there is some instructions out there on how to lock it down. I'll have it in the show notes. I'm sure Apple will be coming out with a plug here soon to figure it out. But moving on to more cybersecurity type stuff, NASDAQ hackers apparently was able to spy on company boards. And I don't know if that means NASDAQ directors' company boards or if it's all company boards. Specifically, one site was really, really whacked. It's called Director's Desk. And they were able to gain access to confidential documents and communications of board directors on that. So that's pretty crazy stuff. Now, the NASDAQ thought this was so serious, they contacted the NSA and said, we need some help. Whoa. They even worked with the Army, head of the National Security Agency and U.S. Cyber Command, tried to lock down their systems. That's saying something. How come NASDAQ, they make billions of dollars a year. How come they can't afford their own security people? You think they would have security like Fort Knox, you know? Just amazes me. They reached out to the NSA. That just, to me, like, wow, it really blows me away. But anyway, this article was over on Reuters. I'll have the link up in the show notes. Okay, Mac users, you knew as your operating system become more popular that you would run into this. But there is a new Mac Trojan out there that disables your Mac auto updates. And there's a couple of them out right now. We're going to talk about at least two of them. But this is a new nasty little bugger. It's basically shipping your Mac details off to a remote server. This is dubbed the flashback.c. It's in the new and improved version of the virus or the malware. And so just be careful out there. Now, along with that, this the Mac Trojan is also that's basically being packaged as a Flash Player install. Is also disabling your built-in OS X malware protection. So this one is called, this is part of the same same malware. So I guess it's one and the same. So they had two different write-ups on this. So I guess it does a couple of nasty things. So be aware that this thing is out there. And just, you know, don't be, you know, installing any software from a location where you don't think so. Because, you know, basically they're getting in through the back door by you typing in your password and letting them through. Now, I'm a stats junkie. I love to look at my web stats. I look at my podcasting stats on a daily basis and really kind of see, you know, where the traffic's coming from, things that we're writing about that's doing good. But Google is implementing a new alternative in searching. And if you're logged into Gmail or Google Reader or Google Groups, if you're logged into the Gmail or the Google ecosystem at all, and you go over to google.com to do a search, what they're going to do now is they're going to load an HTTPS in the column. So when you do the search for Geek News Central, it'll encrypt it. You'll see the results like you normally do. You'll click on my page to come to the website, and the only difference is I will now no longer see in my weblog stats, I'll never see the search term you used to find the website. And believe me, I comb this data pretty good, and we work the system as best we can. We get a huge amount of traffic every day from Google. And I'd like to know where most of it's coming from. I know what articles are hot, what's driving traffic. And I can kind of share that with the blogging team at GNC, who's putting out great daily content. If you haven't been over to the website, you need to come over and see what's up, because they're pushing a lot of stuff. And matter of fact, starting to, there's some significant paychecks going out every month for the writers at Geek News Central. And you can thank this show for being able to not only pay me and keep the lights on here, but pay them for all the great content. So that's why you need to support the sponsors, okay? I don't want to really like push you guys over the edge on that, but let's this machine greased and moving here. But anyway, this is going to be a weird deal with Google and their, you know, basically locking down this information. The SEO folks are going to go crazy. They really, really are. Well, researchers have been able to determine also that if you have your iPhone sitting on a table near your keyboard and you're clattering away, click, 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 they built a little software program, an app at MIT that can be loaded into your phone that can guess what? It will say, if I go Geek News Central, go GEEK, NEWS, CNTRAL, and it will register it on the phone. They will be able to detect, based on the clickety-clack of your keyboard, exactly what you're typing. It's a keystroke logger through your iPhone. So, you know, my goodness gracious, what's next, okay? If you're a Google Plus user, they've shifted their policy over there. So they're going to soon support Google Apps if you've got an account on Google Apps like I do. And also, you're going to be able to use a pseudonym. I'll be honest with you. I like the real names. And I'm sure a lot of people are not using their real names, but I really do. I hope people just don't go and change to a nickname. I really do like the real name feature. It just really keeps it personal, but I'm sure we're going to see using trying to stay anonymous on the website, which, you know, in itself is probably going to open up its own issues, considering that you can comment almost anything on Google Plus, and we'll see how long it takes before people start locking down their postings, and it makes it harder to do that. Gmail is coming out with a new update. They leaked a video. Well, someone leaked a video too early. And so if you want to see what Gmail's new look is going to be, I'll have the link up in the show notes. It's over on businessinsider.com and a lot of other sites as well. But I think what they've got planned here looks pretty good. And they've got tags in there. Really sorted out. They've got new stuff for Gmail conversations. They've really changed the look and feel of everything. You can resize your buddy list, new ways to search. I use Gmail search a lot, you know, and it's almost easier to look for topics and stuff in email than it is to like have something on a hard drive. I can find attachments in emails faster than querying up a search on, in Explorer or something in Windows. So it's pretty cool. But they're going to be changing. And no date here when this is going to fully come out because it was leaked early. But there is an update coming to Gmail, of course. Okay, let's move on. There's an article here on AP. I'm really excited. I've pre-ordered Steve Jobs' official biography. And little bits and pieces are starting to leak out about some of the things has told the author of that book. There's going to be a 60 Minutes program, and it'll probably be the first time I've ever watched 60 Minutes. As a matter of fact, can I get that on? I wonder if I can get 60 Minutes on the web. I have to see, but Walter Isaacson has done an interview with 60 Minutes, and they're going to be releasing that on Sunday, and it goes into some of the sections of the book, but I'll probably read that thing cover to cover. I'm very excited to read the book. It talks about why he didn't do surgery and he meeting his biological father, but they didn't really know who was who, and there's going to be some good nuggets in there, and of course, the open access to his friends and family. I think it'll be a great book. And it's one of the few that I have ordered hardcover. I have a number of books from famous people or about famous people that I have in my library. And this is one that I spent the $34 for and ordered the hardcover on. It's one of those I'm going to want to keep for a long time. Moving on here to a more technical type of topic. The world's first 2.5-inch, 1-terabyte SSD has been announced by Octane. $1,015. And this is big. You know, 1-terabyte SSD got my attention. But boy, that price still makes you go, you know, really kind of makes you have to sit back and really think if you really want that terabyte SSD. They're going to start shipping at the end of next week. They'll be available at major retailers like Newegg, Amazon, Tiger, Direct, etc. So anyway, it's got good speed. It looks like 560 meg. So it has a read speed of up to 560 megs and write speeds up to 400 megs per second. And that's much higher than the closest competitor out there. And they're using a new controller called Everest. And they built a bunch of proprietary logarithms into it, making a lot of bold claims, including nearly doubling the NAND life. And of course, with an SSD, it only has so many reads and writes it can do before it says, I'm done. And they figure the normal SSD drive will last about 10 years. And the way things are growing, you know, who cares in 3 or 4 years, you'll need another one anyway. So, but anyway, this is big news on the tech gadget side. Okay. Gizmodo has a pretty good article about a pretty cool robot that's out there that DARPA spent some money on. And when the budget kind of dried up, they quit funding it. But the investor or the inventor of it continued to do something. It's about 8 or 9 minutes into the video. It actually shows it going through a minefield and mines blowing up. And, you know, IUDs kill so many of our service members overseas. It's you know, it's finally these types of things are coming online and to help protect these guys. I don't know if the government's going to buy them for the military guys or not, but this thing's pretty impressive. And, you know, we can do a lot with robots now. NASA's going to be unfurling the largest solar sail ever. And this is cool. It's 125 by 125 foot sail. And where did the article go? I clicked on something, sorry. And this is going to be launched in 2015. And there's going to be 3 separate experimental missions on this. But this is the biggest one ever. Pretty cool stuff. I have a link up in the show notes. This was over on sci.org.com. Also linked at nasa.com or nasa.gov, excuse me. So I have this up on the in the show notes for you to check out. Not much of a picture, but because it's real tiny on the page, but you can tell by the people standing beside it, it's absolutely huge. There is a security concern out there. You got a webcam on your desktop? What do you think about surfing the web and all of a sudden your webcam being activated unbeknownst to you? Well, there's a bug in Flash that's allowing Mac webcam spying. Now, the Adobe engineers patched Flash on your Mac. So if you've loaded your Mac and it's asked you to update Flash, please do so immediately, okay? Otherwise, someone in the wild, just by going to their website, can turn on your webcam and see you. Not cool. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes on this. But this is the second time that this has happened. The first time was back in 2008. But this is the first time that they basically are enabling it via a bug. And it doesn't turn the light on or nothing. And you, who knows what it's catching you doing. you know, how many of you put the little flipper flapper down on your webcam when you're not using it and cover up the camera? I do. I'm just paranoid that way. Not that I really care what they see in this office. It's pretty boring, but still it's kind of, you know, it's like that peeping Tom syndrome. It's kind of creepy. So I definitely have the little flipper flapper down in front of the camera so that they can't see. And they basically see the back of a lens cover. How many of you have went out and purchased a really nice camera bag, laptop bag, a book bag, whatever it may be? How many of you, after you have bought that, I don't like to set that bag down on the floor because it's going to get dirty. Well, for $199, you must love your bag. You can buy your bag its own chair. Yes, you can buy that nice expensive computer bag or your book bag a chair. Huh. Any chair that I'm going to spend $199 on better be able to support my butt, not a bag. I'm serious. And here, a question for you. My computer bag, I've got a Swiss Army computer bag. This is my second one. I got a bearing going out on the wheels. I need to buy another bag. And then I went and looked at price, the Swiss Army bags, and they've like doubled in price. What is the best computer bag, roller type, pull behind that you've seen lately from which company? I love the one from Tumi, but they were like $600. The ones from Swiss Army were like $520. So where'd you guys find a real good pull behind computer bag? Because I need to order a new one. Love to hear your what you've recently bought, but I'm not going to buy a chair for my new computer bag. It's not happening. But I guess if you have all kinds of money in the world to spend and want to do so, this is quite the thing to have in your doorway. People come in and say, "Oh, my wife probably would use that for a shoe rack." All right. Do you know the AirPlay mirroring? One thing I can do cool here with the TriCaster is I can start a video on my iPad and I can send it over to a network connection on the TriCaster. Just like I bring up the, let me change this article out and I'll show you guys. Actually, I won't cue this because I don't have enough time to do so. But you know how I cue this screen? I can actually put my own, I can put anything that I have here up in its own little window up on the TriCaster. Now, the only thing that's bad is when I do the handoff for AirPlay, this screen goes black. Okay, so the main screen goes black and I really can't control it anymore. But what they did in the iOS 5 update is they added some slick multitasking gestures to the iPad that allows you to do all kinds of stuff in the AirPlay mode where you can see it on the screen. In other words, on your TV, or in my case, on the TriCaster, and still control it here. And that's what I really wanted to do. Well, I was all excited about it. Only iPad 2. So someone has found a way to implement this. You don't have to jailbreak your iPad. You kind of have to go some of the same steps, though, to get this loaded. But for whatever reason, this is probably one of those tricks that says, I knew Todd wanted that feature and probably everyone else that owns an iPad 1. So we're not going to put it on there to force him to go out and buy an iPad 2. And so go ahead and just jailbreak it. Not jailbreak it, but do this little test. It doesn't jailbreak it, but it puts that feature into the menu so you can use your iPad 1 to do the AirPlay mirroring. So, they obviously want the iPad ones to go away. Tough. It'll be a long time. Moving on to a more technical topic, the new Mars rover, which are getting ready to launch soon. You know that the rovers that are up there now are solar powered, but the new Mars rovers are going to have a nuclear power cell. And there's a pretty cool video that explains how that works. And it's not very big. The power pack's only about this big. And so this is a pretty cool write-up in the video. Ashwin Vasvada, the deputy project scientist at NASA Mars Science Laboratory, explains how issues with Spirit and Opportunity's solar panels shorten the mission and what they're going to do with this new nuclear power supply. And so pretty exciting stuff. And they want to keep the rovers going for at least 2 years. The power supply will last a lot longer than that, but need a lot more power on this mission than they have in the previous missions. I'm excited about the next rover mission to Mars. I really am. Over on thatsnotfunny.com, you know, I've been really excited about Google TV update. And there's more and more stuff being leaked about the Google TV 2.0. So here is kind of what the Android Marketplace, and let's see if I can blow this up. This is what the Android Android Marketplace looks like on the Google TV. And then here's some other pages. Let me see if I can bring up. Now, here's an example of the CBS, the app, which is pretty cool. Let's see, what else do they have? Any more pictures here? I think that was it. Well, they show some more as well, but how it actually looks on the website as well. So you got your apps that you can get access to. But, you know, this is the exciting part. So you're used to using your mobile phone. Well, this is going to, Android's going to move to the Google TV. And you guys are going to be able to load Tech Podcast and Blueberry and our other networks in there. And you're going to be able to watch, just like you do on the Roku and Boxy, you're going to be able to watch the this show's content, our other family of shows content on the Google TV. I'm just jazzed about this. I can't wait till it comes out. And every time I see a sneak peek, I fire it off to my team and see that, see this, and check this one, and are we okay? And I'm getting a little bit anal to them. They're probably, Angelo sent me an email, let's get Q2 launched, and I'll go back and double check everything that you're talking about here, so make sure there's no surprises. Over at Web Designer Depot, if you're a web designer, there's a pretty good list of podcasts for designers, so I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. And some shows there, I said, oh, they need to be over at Tech Podcast. And I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Have you heard about this Free Justin Bieber movement? Well, U.S. authorities have demanded the extradition of Justin Bieber, the Canadian singer who turned blatant copyright infringement into a profitable career. The teen star is accused of streaming unauthorized songs to millions of people without compensating the copyright holders and now faces 5 years prison sentence. Now, that is a make-believe story because, and I didn't know this because I'm not a Bieber fan, but apparently Bieber got famous by posting unauthorized covers of popular R&B songs to YouTube. So he was, you know, he was singing copyrighted songs, you know, doing it his way and putting it up on YouTube. But there's a new rule, a new law, and we've talked about this a little bit. The White House in March published a white paper with several recommendations on how to make copyright law compliant in the digital age. And one thing it suggested was classifying unauthorized streaming of copyrighted material as a felony, with a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison. So that turned into a bill that Senator Amy Klobuchar, I'm sure I just destroyed her name, John Cornyn, and Christopher Coons introduced right after the president suggested it in Senate Bill 978. Now, if it's signed into law, basically it would make it illegal for us to have our kids' parties going on or anything else that has copyrighted music or video in it at all, even if it's fair use, to put it up online if more than 10 people watch it. And yes, you go to prison for 5 years. The law only requires 10 YouTube performances and a hypothetical fair market value of $5,000. This bundled with some commercial aspect, such as running ads or using the video to advance one's career, and a jail sentence awaits. So they say, oh, this isn't going to affect YouTube users. It's not going to affect them. But you know, once it's in place, this is event like the kid from Texas who was charged with criminal and copyright infringement for the reproduction, distribution of copyright materials for streaming something. He faces 5 years in prison already over this. So call your congressman. Senate Bill 978. Okay. Tell them what you think. Now, if you're a Skype user and you're using peer-to-peer, hold the horses. Researchers have uncovered a major security flaw, which allows outsiders to link to a Skype account and monitor users' download activity on BitTorrent. The exploit works without the knowledge of the person that's on the computer. And all kinds of information is passed. This article is over on torrentfreak.com. They've told Skype about this. Skype has not responded. Skype has not fixed it. Skype has not patched it. And here's what they say. Skype has shown no interest in releasing a fixed. Maybe because it will break Skype, because Skype works on peer-to-peer, right? You guys know that, right? When you make a Skype call to someone, they're using a peer-to-peer protocol to share that data and spread it across your neighborhood to try to get a good connection. You didn't think it was direct, right? You knew that there was a peer-to-peer component to Skype. So there it goes. You guys hear it? It'll quit here in a few minutes. We'll keep on doing the show. The ups is reminding me that its battery is bad. So anyway, that's it for Skype. So be careful using Skype and using BitTorrent, okay? Maybe that's how some of these guys are figuring out who's doing what with what type of content. Now, who's throttling BitTorrent or who's throttling peer-to-peer right now? Well, in the United States, BitTorrent throttling practices continue. Comcast is only throttling about 3%. Clearwire, 17% of all peer-to-peer traffic is being throttled. In Canada, the worst is Rogers, 78% of all traffic. Now, the best is Videotron. They're only doing 3%. In Great Britain, boy, that thing is just going forever. Tiscali and BT Group is doing 27%. BSkyB is only doing 5%. So the internet service providers out there are throttling peer-to-peer. It just quit. Says, okay, I've reminded you that my battery's bad. Check me against here. I'm looking at the time here. It's a little early. So it's 12-hour clock. Isn't quite perfect. So anyway, that if you use Clear and you're trying to do peer-to-peer, just be aware they're throttling. Samsung did some, put some sales material together. And one of the things they have on the picture is a picture of a phone with a map, a Google map. And some people did some research on this basically off the Samsung website and found that that picture had been lifted from a gal that had done that exact picture with on an iPhone. So they just supplanted the map data onto the Samsung phone, but it came originally off an iPhone. So, you know, Samsung's having a lot of trouble, and their graphic artist people need to get a little more creative and not be stealing images off of other people's websites, and at the same time, not supplanting a iPhone image onto a Samsung device, to a Droid. So I'm sure this will be used against them, and it was from a blog post on a gal's website from 2008. So it's just funny. It really is. Oh, there comes a call into the house, and hopefully my wife will pick that up. That doesn't happen very often. You know, of the 715 shows we've done, there's only just been a handful of times that a calls have come in here. People just don't call us at night. All right, Lytro is a new camera, and I went to the website, and I looked at their images, and basically what this camera does, it looks more like a flashlight than a camera, and those of you on the live stream, the guy's holding it in his hand, it's like a little square box, kind of looks like one of those viewfinders you had as a kid, you looked in it, it had a kaleidoscope type thing, that's kind of what it reminded me of when I saw it. But it's expensive. It's $399 for an 8-gig model, $499 for a 16-gig. And you just point and shoot. And what it does is the way it processes the images, it allows you, once you get it out, to determine which part of the picture you want focused and which parts you don't. You got to see the pictures. And I'll have the link up, and you can check this out. It's called they're calling it a light field camera. And they're saying it uses a technology that captures 3D light, and it lets you focus blurry pictures or change the depth of focus after you shoot them. But for the price, you know, make it $99, I might try one, but $399? You know, it's kind of like, this is definitely different than anything I've ever seen. And they're true, Lytro, like no camera you've ever seen before. Absolutely, that's the case. But you, once you play around with it, those of you that are photo buffs, tell me, is this something you can't do with a regular lens? That you can't, you know, focus on something real? But you, I guess what you can't do is this, you can actually, with their software, you can actually pick the focus point and everything else kind of changes around it. So, and anywhere on the image, it is interesting, but not for $399. I've been playing around with Google Music. I was able to get an invite to their beta. And one of the features is that you're going to be able to share music after you buy. And you get, basically, I'll share it with you, and then you can have a limited number of plays. Now, that was announced by Google Music Chief Andy Rubin. Boy, he wears a lot of hats. He's the Google Android chief. He's also the music chief. That guy's got a lot of stuff to do, but anyway, the music beta is it's interesting, and so far so good. All right, the video of the day. I'm going to flat out here to tell you, if you don't watch, if you're a geek and you want to keep your geek creed, there is a 15-minute video by YouTube that is extraordinary. No, excuse me, it's a 15-minute video on YouTube that was done by the team behind the Google self-driving car. It's up to 56,000 views. And when I first saw it tonight, it was like 49,000. So this thing's really growing in the number of people watching it. But it's really cool. And it gets real technical. So again, if you wanted to keep your geek stripes, you got to watch this. But I'm convinced. It, you know, when I'm 80, I'm going to get in my car and I'm gonna like, take me to the bar or take me to the beach or take me back to the old folks home, you know, drive, go. And I'm sure this is going to be the case based on what they have done. Now, I hope they can get the little laser thing on top from having to be there. That's kind of weird. But this is this video's part 2 of 3 of a keynote presentation on self-driving cars at Iros 2011. And they've got the links to the other two parts. But I just saw this. It's a cool video. Part of the reason why I was a little late getting the show ready tonight was that. Hey, Windows 8 early speed tests show that it's going to rock the house. Everyone's pretty excited about what's going to happen there. So we'll see what happens when Windows 8 comes out. If you're getting ready to upgrade or want to upgrade when Windows 8 comes out next year, there's a statement been published by the folks at the Free Software Foundation, basically saying, hey, manufacturers are being told that in order to license Windows 8, they're going to have and get a compatibility logo, that they must implement a system called Secure Boot. And what they're saying is the FSF statement warns against the danger that if done wrong, this system would have to be called the Restricted Boot, because it could make computers incapable of running anything but Windows. So if you're buying a Mac, you're going to run a Mac. If you're buying a Windows machine, I guess you could run Linux. So I understand their concern there. Those signing the FSF statement urge all computer makers implementing this system to resist any pressure to adopt Restricted Boot. And so anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes. I didn't even know about this. This is a good read. For those of you that build your own machines and put Linux on computers as well. All right, if you upgraded or your phone was one of the lucky ones to be on the list to get Ice Cream Sandwich, Ice Cream Sandwich supports WebM streaming. That's pretty cool. And MKV files as well. So that's nice. I like to see that. I'm not surprised that's in there. There's also, I'll have a list in the show notes of sites that are actually phones that are going to get Ice Cream Sandwich. If you've been wondering, I've got a pretty comprehensive list for you later in the show. Also, if you're the type that buys DVDs or Blu-rays, boy, the ultraviolet reviewers hate Hollywood's Digital Locker. They are just absolutely blasting them with both barrels. The Green Lantern and Horrible Bosses are the first two Blu-rays that come out that are ultraviolet enabled. And they basically, everyone's saying they don't work. I can't put the videos up in the cloud, or if I sign up and try to get on my devices. This is basically was Hollywood's way of saying, hey, you buy the Blu-ray, we're going to give you access to the digital copy to put on your iPhone, your Android, your iPad, be able to consume that content wherever you want because you bought it from us. Well, so far, massive complaints that it's not working like it's supposed to. And a lot of people are doing this, and here's what I laugh. The folks behind Ultraviolet say the development process through new media ecosystems such as Ultraviolet is an ongoing one. The ECE, this is the group, is actively involved in overseeing Ultraviolet's gradual rollout driven by individual companies who are working tirelessly to address consumers' concerns to ensure the most enjoyable, user-friendly digital home entertainment experience possible. So in other words, it doesn't work, so you're a guinea pig if you buy these two videos and try to use the Ultraviolet-enabled disc. You've been warned. Finally, I'm very excited. uTorrent for Mac has added RSS feed scheduling, so I may have to think about bringing torrents back to Geek News Central. That's cool. You can subscribe to an RSS feed. When the new torrent pops, you'll see it. You get to download the show automatically. This is kind of cool. So I'm going to look at this. I really am. And this is big news. So a couple articles over in Geek News Central. Andrew wrote an article on no 4G in the UK until 2013 at the earliest. Apparently, it's a spectrum issue. And so this is not good. And so you're really going to be limited here on newer speeds. And when Ofcom, who is the UK regulator, is going to be offering up that spectrum. So it isn't going to happen for a while. And so this is something that those of you in the UK have to be aware of. Hey, Jeffrey Powers did a great article on the Pogo Plug Mobile. And what this does is it lets you put your cloud on your desk and desktop. And basically, you plug this into your network. It's kind of like other Pogo plugs. The only difference is it's specifically designed to basically back up your mobile phone, and where you can get access to it, share that information, and so forth, contacts, you name it. So they're definitely trying to compete here with iCloud and all the other services that are out that are available. Another article that was done by Andrew at Geek News Central talks about search data and browsing history used as evidence. It kind of goes into some of the stuff I talked about earlier, but some more in-depth information about CCTVs and Street View and some all kinds of other stuff that resulted in that one individual being found and from his basically being, you know, police being able to charge him because of all of his Google searching. And then Jeffrey Powers did an article on Geek News Central about Yahoo. He said, hey, dear Yahoo, just sell it already. Be done with it. And I laugh here. He says, it's time. Time to make a decision. Time to stop holding on to the past. Time to realize you were on top in your game in 2000, but now it's 2011. Time to see that Yahoo is Yahoo over. And he says, change your name. Set a new two-year business plan. Get a CEO that knows social media. Rebuild your look and feel. Rebuild your clientele. And he says, did I say change your name? Yes. And he says, when I think of Yahoo, I think about a company that was at the top of the game in 2000. But where are they now? They suck. Well, he doesn't say they suck, but I'm just ad-libbing here a little bit. And Jeffrey thinks that it's Yahoo over. And that was our biggest article today that was Doug. So anyway, not Doug, but a number of retweets. So good job on Jeffrey. Hey, the Sony 3D View high definition camera, it's called the DXG5F9V. Amazing price here. It's available for $299. And this makes me want to run out and try 3D a little bit. But you got to be able to do 2D good first, let alone do 3G. But that's exciting stuff. You can, and it's in a small, you know, kind of handy cam. It's in a very small size, you know, a little compact size, about this big. It's not a big camera. And 3D glasses are not required on playback, which is cool. So I'm going to have to reach out to my Sony friend and see if I can get a review unit. But I'm still waiting on a tablet from Sony, for goodness sakes. That's cool. So 3D from Sony. All right, almost done here. Just have a couple more. Microsoft had a quarter one rake in $17.37 billion on $5.7 billion in net income. Congratulations to Microsoft for having a fantastic quarter. And some of the Skype plans were reviewed in the earnings call. And hey, athletes, or any of you that are going to be subjected to a performance drug test, be aware that if you eat meat, yes, M-E-A-T, from Mexico, you can fail a drug test. Apparently, contaminated meat in Mexico led to traces of the banned drug Kalumetrol being found in urine samples given by more than 100 players involved in the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in June. The world governing body medical chief has revealed of the 24 squads involved, 19, possibly including England's youth team, had several players showing presence of the drug, but at concentrations lower than prohibited level. And they found out that it was because of a steroid used in meat, primarily in Mexico, that crossed over, and their urinalysis come up suspect. All right, last two articles here. If you want to tweak Windows 7 and get more performance out, I have an article over at makeuseof.com. And then I got a cool article over on Extreme Tech talking about 6 potential Google Reader replacements. Some of those we're familiar with. There's a good list of them there. I'll have a link up in the show notes. Okay, let me go ahead and real quick check. There is no voicemails or no hotline calls today, but I do have some emails. We'll get into get that done real fast here, and then we'll get everyone out. Let me look at the date. Okay, so I got an email here from Gary. He says, hey, Todd, solar cell breakthrough in the Brookhaven Labs, and he has a link up to that website, bnl.gov, and I'll have that in the show notes for you. Thanks for that. Brian, I got your email, and I'll be responding privately. And probably the most heartwarming email I got today came from Steve. He said, hey there, just want to give you some words to lift you up and keep pressing towards the mark. In this giant networking world, we have to stay focused on our goals and keep pushing on. Success revolves around being focused and on the prize. Stay strong and keep on trucking. We are in it to win. And we need all the support we can get from each other in order to become successful. We must surround ourselves around successful people. The time is now to overcome this giant of a network. Stay strong and keep it real. Take care. And Steve, thanks so much for that. It was a nice note that came in via LinkedIn. I do appreciate that. Got an email here from Davidge. I pronounce if I said your name incorrectly. He says, the Galaxy Nexus has my vote. Would totally get it if only TNT would get the phone. They should, but it has not shown up on the page yet. The only reason I want to stick with AT&T is because of the unlimited data plans I have since I was grandfathered in. Can't deal with limited data caps on the other carriers. I was considering getting a Verizon MiFi, but since that too has data caps, it's a no-go. The phone is certainly better than the iPhone 4S, since the only thing that the iPhone has an 8-meg camera, but honestly, 5.1 MP camera is good enough for a casual user. The phone is not supposed to be your primary camera. If you're a photographer, you all have cameras, so Android 4.0 wins hands down. Thanks, David. You know something on that topic? I think that the camera phone is becoming default. People don't want to carry, especially ladies, don't want to carry more than one phone. My wife does never use her point and shoot anymore, ever. And we take the big camera to like sporting events and stuff, but that's it. I got an email here from Andrew. He said, hey, Todd, you may have seen this, but not. It's done very well and must have taken a lot of time to put together. And basically what this is, a smartphone camera battle, iPhone 4S versus Android. Thanks for that. I got an email here from Richard from iMessage. Hey, Todd, Richard here. Yes, iMessage works in the native messaging app on your iPhone. And also you can send messages from your iPad too, only when you're on Wi-Fi, but the iPhone, you can send them on Wi-Fi and 3G. When it's on another iDevice, the message will turn blue. And when you're sending to an Android or other kind of phone, the bubble will turn red to let you know it's not an Apple product, and then turn green to tell you that instead of iMessage, it will be a regular old text message like normal. It works seamlessly, nothing to set up. Thanks, Richard, for that. Appreciate it. Got an email here from Nancy. She says, hey, Todd, I just got a bizarre phone call from a tech support services. The caller had a heavy Indian accent, and he was calling registered Windows users so they could be aware of non-secure software running on the computers. He didn't explain how he got my name or number, and he had me go into the event viewer and tried to scare me into thinking that all of the warnings, all 5 of them, meant that I had non-secure software running. I could identify all the events we were looking at, and he got frustrated pretty quickly because he couldn't get me into to buy this scare tactic. The phone number is 858-102-3252, but calling it back doesn't let the call go through. I put a block on his number, but I saved it as a contact as a contact called phone scam. So plug this into your phone book and label it phone scam. And when it calls, have some fun with him. By the time I told him I was a system administrator, he figured out he wasn't going to get anywhere. He may have been a quasi-legitimate, but it's not a very good business model. I expected him to hang up long before he did. Cheers, Nancy. And I think the final last email here is, hey, Todd, hope's all well. I thought you might like this to see this and share her. Here it is. Company using Mac Minis for video editing. And you guys got to see this. You think your MacBook Pros are the top dog? You might be surprised. I'll have the link up here in the show notes on that. And I got an email here from JP, article from the Art of Manliness. And I haven't seen what that is. So I will definitely look at that. So thanks for everyone that emailed me. Let's get everyone out of here. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the HANA. Again, thanks for 7 years at Geek News Central. We love having you as part of the audience. If you've got comments on the show, please, 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 geeknews@gmail.com. Fire me a note off on Twitter. You can do me at Gmail as well. But of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran. Geeknewscentral.com is the website. We'll see you next time and Saturday Morning Tech. And next we're here at Geek News Central. Until then, aloha.